The diplomatic negotiations continue full tilt today among the 15 member nations of the United Nations Security Council. This morning, France said it rejects the compromise proposal put forward yesterday by the United Kingdom that laid out six steps that Saddam Hussein and Iraq would have to take to avoid war. A short time later, the tough language softened a bit when French Foreign Minister Dominique de Villepin said, quote, "Everything must be tried to preserve the unity of the Security Council, and we are working toward that." Meanwhile, the Bush administration has been pressing for a vote on a second resolution by the end of this week. This morning, White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer said a vote may be put off until next week. Political pressure is intensifying and positions are shifting as the crisis at the UN deepens. One country that has been a stalwart supporter of the U.S. and British positions has been Spain. That country is a co-sponsor of the second resolution authorizing a war with Iraq that's under review at the Security Council now. We're pleased to be joined now by Spain's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Ana Palacio, who joins us on the phone from Madrid. And very good of you to join us, Minister.
Well, thank you.
Can you give us a sense of what's going on this afternoon here in Washington as in amongst the members of the Security Council?
Well, I would say in New York and all over the world, because I think that there is a lot of phone calls and meetings that are going on. Well, we are trying, as you quoted just a few seconds ago, we are trying to find the broadest consensus, which is not easy, but we are still trying, because I think this is our duty to try till the very last possibility to build up a consensus.
The United States has said that it would allow some more time, but there's also a sense that there is not a great deal more time available.
Well, I would say that there is not much sense in just waiting and waiting. I think that we have to make a clear difference between the work of the inspectors, and the work of the inspectors will have to go on for as long as they need and with the means they need. But first of all, we have to have the will from the Iraqi regime to cooperate. And you can't substitute will by inspectors. It's necessary, because we will never get the full disarmament of Iraq if there is not the will to disarm from the Iraqi regime. And you know, it doesn't take long to decide to cooperate. And until now, the Saddam regime has been playing tricks with us, and for 12 years. I think it's not a matter of that time is running out. Is that I think that at a certain moment we have to face our responsibilities as members of the international community.
When do you think that moment might arrive?
Well, you know, it's not just in a matter of 24 hours. It depends. If we find a possibility of gathering a broad consensus, we may wait a few days. But if this possibility does not seem clear, then wait, because things are just being misled. And as we all know, this has been taken by Saddam's regime as a big victory over the international community.
If you were quoted yesterday as suggesting that if France is just going to veto a resolution anyway, perhaps it should be pulled off the table.
Well, you know, as you said before, it's important to preserve the unity of the United Nations. Having said that, this was just a comment. We are working on trying to find this consensus for this new resolution. But of course, we can't avoid just thinking of other possibilities.
Throughout this, you have been an eloquent supporter of the British, American, and Spanish position in the Security Council. Yet we see public opinion polls that suggest that the majority of the population in your country, the great majority, is opposed to the possibility of a war with Iraq, that the people of Spain would align themselves perhaps with the population of France and Britain as well. Why is it that your government has taken such a strong position?
Because we are very much committed to the war against terrorism. And the Iraq regime just has fulfills three conditions that he's probably the only regime in the world that fulfills the three conditions at the same time. First of all, they have weapons of mass destruction, especially biological and chemical weapons that are very easy to use and very easy to pass on to terrorists. They have used them in the past, so we know that Saddam will not have any doubts in using them. We know on the second issue is that we know that the Saddam Hussein regime has ties with terrorism organizations. We haven't evidences that he has links with Al Qaeda, but yes, with other terrorist organizations. And on the third issue is that he has been just disobeying the obligations for 12 years, the obligations put forward by the international community. And the Security Council voted a resolution 1441, that states that this is the last chance for Saddam Hussein's regime to disarm, and that he has to disarm fully, and that it has to cooperate immediately, fully, and without conditions. And of course, right now there is a tendency to shift from the objective of disarmament to an objective of contention or of risk management. But as I said at the beginning, we in Spain, we know very well what this fight against terrorism means. Mm-hmm. And we are very much committed, and we share very much the positions of the United States.
What do you think of the proposal that was outlined by the UK Foreign Minister, Mr. Jack Straw, yesterday?
Well, you know, any proposal that may gather consensus and reach the objective of peaceful disarmament is welcome, and we are trying to, as I said, to negotiate with the other members of the Security Council in order to reach this consensus. So this is an interesting possibility, but it's still there on the table. We don't have any consensus behind this proposal.
Given that, what do you suspect will happen over the course of the next few days?
Well, you know, it's very difficult. Things are changing by the hour. What I can tell you is we would like that it happens. We think that a peaceful resolution of all this issue lies in the hands of Saddam Hussein. So, if I could make a wish, I would say that Saddam Hussein has to understand that this is really, we mean it. It's really the last opportunity to disarm peacefully, and he takes this opportunity and complies with international community.
Is he likely to do that in the absence of unity on the Security Council?
Well, I can't answer to this question. You should ask Saddam Hussein. He is the only one to be able to answer. Until now, Saddam Hussein has reacted to the strong unity of the international community and to the credible threat of the use of force. And I think that we have to put more pressure on him and expect that he will have this reaction of complying.
Like all of us, you have said, do you hope for a peaceful resolution, though at this moment do you fear that it will be war?
Well, you know, we are still working our best, and I think that you can never give up your goals. We are working our best, and we are working our best on having this new resolution that will mean more pressure on Saddam Hussein, and we expect that he listens to this new message. But of course, the international community has to face the responsibilities. The international community has set an obligation of disarmament and has established in Resolution 1441 that if Saddam Hussein's regime did not comply, then it should face the consequences. And this is not us. We were not even members. Spain, we were not even members at the time when Resolution 1441 was voted. But we are committed to this resolution and to all the other resolutions that for 10 years have paved the way of the uncompliances by Saddam Hussein.
Thank you very much for being with us. We know you're very busy. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Ana Palacio is the foreign minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs for Spain, and she spoke to us from her office in Madrid. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now to help explain how this all fits into the situation at the Security Council is Philip Gurevich, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His profile of Secretary General Kofi Annan appeared in last week's issue of the magazine. He joins us from his office in Brooklyn. And good of you to hang on with us. We appreciate it.
Nice to be here.
Can you help us understand, given what the Foreign Minister of Spain was just saying and what you've been watching today at the Security Council, what's the situation?
Well, I think the situation, as she said, is literally changing by the hour. And I think basically the situation is that we're dealing with more diplomatic uncertainty and confusion than most of these very able diplomats and foreign ministers are even accustomed to. And they're scrambling to figure out what's in their best interest and what they can manage. Obviously, the United States and Britain are desperately trying to get a second resolution to give a UN authority and a seal of approval to a war that they're very eager to start. And France, by threatening a veto, has created a very dim prospect for that resolution. And so it seems that the very best that the Bush administration can hope for is either to figure out some sort of a compromise where they twist France back into, at best, abstaining, but at least to get a majority of the non-permanent members on the Security Council. That means getting these famous 9 votes from countries like Cameroon and Guinea and Angola, and that is what they're obviously lobbying for very hard, because I suppose the idea is, well, we got vetoed by France, but France said it would veto under any conditions, which means it's not really taking Saddam seriously, and we got a majority, and that means that we've got a sort of a majority of international approval. That's at best the game, though. You know, Colin Powell this morning said we may just not even take this thing to a vote and just proceed with the authority that the outstanding resolutions like 1441 give us.
And France then came out, the French foreign minister, said, that we must do everything to work for unity in the Security Council. That after, as you mentioned, France had threatened to veto almost anything.
Yes, Villepin today said something to the effect of all options are open, which is definitely a different message than France had been sending for the last few days. But, I mean, again, you have several people speaking for each government. Putin, for instance, in Russia has never threatened a veto. Ivanov, his foreign minister, has constantly threatened a veto. France constantly says all options are open out of one side of its mouth while saying that it's going to veto from the other side. In the midst of this, these other smaller non-permanent members of the Security Council are obviously trying to figure out how basically not to get stuck doing something that hurts their own self-interest in the long run.
So I guess the only message we can take out of all this is stay tuned.
I'm afraid that's the case. It's a level of high diplomatic drama that one sees very, very rarely, if ever, before.
Philip Gurevich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Philip Gurevich is a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His profile of Secretary General Kofi Annan appeared in the March 3rd issue of the magazine, and he was on the line with us from his office in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Neil Conan, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.